Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alamin. Wassalamu ala Muhammad wa ala Tahirin. So far in the previous lectures we've said that there were many cycles of humans before our cycle and before Prophet Adam alayhisalam. And there's no beginning since pre-eternity. And since pre-eternity, there's always been people. And each cycle for itself has its own prophets, its own imams. This hasn't been directly alluded to in the Holy Quran. But the Quran hasn't negated such a concept either. And maybe there's some indirect reference in the Holy Quran that there were people before Prophet Adam. In Surah Al-Baqarah, for example, when Allah said that He wants to assign a Khalifa on earth, there the angels questioned such an act and said, "You want to assign someone who will cause bloodshed and so on and so forth?" Maybe because they had seen people before Adam and how they had acted. But in any case, this idea of the previous cycles, it's not in the Quran directly or explicitly. It's not negated though in the Holy Quran. But in the Ahadith, we have plenty of traditions. There are many. And also in the Ahadith, they speak of cycles other than our cycles, which exist right now. So there are cycles of people in different worlds residing right now. And in one holy tradition, the Imam Baqir alayhi salam, says that there are 12,000 worlds. And these worlds, they are not aware of one another. وَأَنَا لَحُجَّةُ عَلَيْهِمْ. And I am the proof of Allah over them all. In the same way that He is governing this world, is governing this world, the Imam is governing this world with his deputies and so on and so forth, he's governing all these worlds. But he said they're not aware of one another. Anyway, these things exist. We have these in the traditions. And they don't go against the logic of the verses of the Quran either. We were discussing whether Adam and Eve, alayhi wasalam, was there only one mother and father to whom we all are traced back to, or are there more than one? The last one or two days we've been discussing this concept. In the Quran, in chapter 4, verse 1, the merely apparent, superficial, zahir of the verse seems to indicate that everyone is traced back to Adam and Eve, and there's only one Adam and Eve. وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا. But that's only an apparent understanding. Nowhere in the Quran does it explicitly say there's a difference. Sometimes it's only an apparent meaning which is derived. It's they call it the head of the verse, apparent meaning, prima facie meaning. Sometimes it's mass, it's something explicit. There's no other meaning, it's this is very explicitly clear. Nowhere in the Quran is there any explicit reference that everyone is traced back to Adam and Eve. But there is an apparent derivation from that verse. One can say the apparent meaning, the dhahir, is that yes, we all are traced back to Adam and Eve, alayhi wasalam. But it's only dhahir. Now we see, in fiqh, which deals with actions, and in aqa'id, which deals with beliefs, the dhahir and apparent meaning has different jurisdictions. If you come across something and you encounter the apparent meaning of it in fiqh, they say that you can go ahead and do that action. But in aqa'id is a function of the heart. You have to acquire belief, not by just maybe someone giving you an apparent sentence or two. No one can force you to believe. The heart has to have yaqeen before i'tiqadat is actualized. In beliefs, the heart has to believe in it. The heart will only believe in such a thing when there's certainty. But with one or two statements, that certainty won't be acquired. So, we have many ahadith, many traditions. In fiqh, they call it khabar wahid, solitary reports. One or two or three or four or ten reports that don't lead to one certainty. But there are many traditions on this one point. Here they say in fiqh, you can abide by the solitary reports. As long as it doesn't go against the Quran, doesn't go against other traditions. But that's enough, because you know they're trustworthy. Once that is established, you can take their word for it and act upon what they have said in the traditions. It's like when you go on the street, you're looking for directions, you find someone, he looks sane and normal. Say, where's the direction of X place? They say, it's there. Why do you listen? You don't even, the trustworthiness of the person isn't even substantiated before you, but you abide by that action. Unless someone else says he's giving the wrong directions, for example. In the traditions of the Ahlulbayt, the transmitters, their trustworthiness has to be substantiated. And if there are two or three traditions which say, do this X action, we do it, even though we don't have yaqeen. In the realm of actions, if the trustworthiness is established, you do it. Because here the criteria is just doing the actions. But with i'tiqadat and beliefs, it's a function of the heart now. The heart has to believe. The heart can't believe if there's no yaqeen. So if you tell the heart one or two apparent zahiri statements, and the heart says, okay, that's the apparent meaning. I still don't have i'tiqad and belief in relation to it. That's okay. You can't force the person to believe. And the zahiri verses or texts, they may not lead to one's belief. That's okay. Explicit verses of the Quran, yes. But the zahiri, mere apparent meanings, not necessarily. Is there one Adam and Eve or more than one? There's no explicit mention in the Holy Quran, and there's no clear-cut traditions. The traditions go against one another. But the majority, though, say there's one Adam and Eve in the traditions. But does it lead to one certainty or not? If it doesn't, you don't have to believe. And that's why sometimes you see science or one's intellect Something is substantiated, is proven. If the aql proves something, that can easily come and influence the apparent verses of the Quran or the apparent Zahiri texts, the traditions. That's okay. That would be unproblematic, as long as it's proven, it's indisputable. Now, in this discussion, was there one Adam and Eve or more than one Adam and Eve? Do we have such aqli proofs which diverts us from the position of there being one Adam and Eve to many? Maybe not. Maybe, I mean, there were many theories given, we've discussed them. Whether they can influence the Zahiri meaning or not, it's not substantiated. If it's not substantiated, you still have to cling on to the Zahiri meaning of the Quran, which was there's one Adam and Eve. However, then we discussed the concept of Kathir, which is from Adam and Eve, there were many men and many women emanated from, not all. If that is substantiated, that is also a Zahiri meaning of the older Quran, then we're stuck between two apparent meanings. And none of these are the zaruriyat of the religion, they're not the fundamentals, like salat is wajib, hajj is wajib, khums is wajib. It's not like that. It's not part of the zaruriyat, but still these are important things that it's good to have acquire some knowledge in relation to, because it has effects. Then there was a discussion that when the Quran says Ya Bani Adam or Ya Ayyuhan Nas, it's including everyone. So everyone is involved in the ruling that follows. And Bani Adam itself, the Zahir, it means everyone, all descendants, they stem from Adam, alayhi salam, Bani Adam. But then, all this we've covered before, then we come to this verse of the Holy Quran, chapter 7, verse number 27. Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, La yaftinannakum shaytan. Don't let the shaytan tempt you. Don't let that happen. Kama akhraja abawaykum fil jannah, as he removed your abawayn in heaven. Referring to Adam and Eve. That story of Adam and Eve, it's a particular story. It's a particular Adam, it's a particular Eve. No one is denying that. It's not just, you know, humanity in general. So these people existed. The verse says, do you know when Shaitan removed, let's say, Adam and Eve, your Ab, loosely translated as parents? Don't let the Shaitan tempt you. Now here, first of all, the temptation that happened with Adam and Eve is not like we think it is, and maybe last week we spoke about this. They didn't commit any sin as we know of it. That has a very important Irfani meaning, what it meant for them to exit heaven. But it says, as Iblis removed your parents from heaven. Now the key is this. It says abawaykum. It doesn't say walidaykum. And this is a very important feature, which when we come to the evolution, which we're going to start today, this point is important. Because there's a difference between Ab and Walid. First of all, the term Ab isn't confined to parents. It's a general term. It has many applications. And in the Quran, these applications have been used. It's been used as meaning mentor. It's been used as father. It's been used as grandfather. It's been used in the Quran as uncle. And it's been used in the Quran as ancestor. Ab is a general term. But in the Quran, walid is specifically in relation to biological parents. In the question of Adam and Eve, the question is, are we all traced back biologically to Adam and Eve? That's the question. Or are we all traced back to many Adam and Eves? Well, then there were many biological mothers and fathers, and we're all traced to them separately. But here the verse is, your abavain. It could have said walidaykum. For example, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, in relation to either according to some traditions his uncle, or either according to some traditions his mentor. His mentor in the apprenticeship, that kind of model mentor. That is called his ab. But other was his employer, for example, or his uncle. But Ibrahim alayhi salam uses the word ab in relation to other. But when he does dua, Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran, in his duas, he says, Rabbana iqfir li wa li walidayya, and my parents, biological parents, waliday. Walid is biological parents, period. Ab, no. Now, why doesn't this verse say walidaykum? It says abawaykum. Those who believe there were many Adams and Eve, they said, yes, it's okay, we have many Adams and Eve, but this Adam and Eve, they were, this Adam was the prophet, he was the main figure, and he was the guide, he was the mentor for us all. So this is another important point that one has to take in mind. Now, irrespective of whether there was one Adam and Eve or more than one Adam and Eve, there's only one other discussion in relation to this, inshallah we'll do them tomorrow. But irrespective of whether there was one Adam and Eve or more than one Adam and Eve, because those who are proponents that there were more than one, another issue they raise is in relation to the grandchildren of Adam and Eve. How did they come about? And that's a lengthy discussion. We'll discuss it inshallah tomorrow. But irrespective of whether there was one or more, how were they created? How did they come to exist in this world? And here we enter the question of evolution. Because either they were born, Adam and Eve, were either born from apes. And before that ape stage, you can either say, let's say plants evolved into another form of life, into another, then came the apes, and then from apes, Adam and Eve were given birth to. Or if you want to accept that species, you know, different species can evolve one to the other, from apes though, there were always apes, eventually these apes gave birth to humans such as Adam and Eve. Either that's one option in the evolution discussion, or the apes evolved into, let's call them the Neanderthal people or species, who are people who are half mentally, I mean, half animal, in between animals and humans. They don't have that high, they don't have the high order capacities that humans have, but they're not like animals either. But they don't know what duty is. They may not have that responsibility like humans have. Or you can say Adam and Eve, they were given birth to Neanderthal people or species. That's another option in the evolution discussion of humans. They either came from apes or from Neanderthal. Or you can say Adam and Eve were created from Earth. Now, if you say they were created from Earth, this also has a number of variations. Either you can say Allah shaped with mud, with earth, made the shape of humans, and then Allah breathed his spirit into the earth, and the earth got life, was a human being. Or this evolution of earth into man, into Adam, for example, alayhi salam, or this earth evolved into a human being, like, for example, a unicellular embryo, which is almost liquid, evolves into a human being, but in the womb, a same process occurred outside the womb. That's another form of being created from earth. Or Allah created from earth all the steps. For example, when an embryo after 9 months becomes a human being, let's call the embryo stage A phase. The human being after 9 months, let's call that the stage Z phase. And in between this B, C, D, E, F, G until Z is a continuous process. And all these stages are respective causes that lead to the formation of Z. Now either from A to Z, embryo to human, it undergoes a natural process of 9 months going through all the causes, but outside the womb. Adam could have been created from earth in this way, or Adam was created from earth and all the A to Z causes happened, however, they happened instantaneously. But they all happened. The causes B, C, D, E, F, G, none were skipped. They weren't skipped. You don't take those causes, make a void, and say A becomes Z. However, A to Z, all the stages are undergone, but all these stages happen not in 9 months or not in any period of time. They happen instantaneously. Allah can do that. But all the causes are there. You can't take the causes away. That's impossible then, from A to become Z. Because let's say from A to Z, it has to go through certain causes of nature. You take these causes away, how will A become Z? If you say, well, it can become Z through other causes, that doesn't matter to what causes it becomes Z. The point is, it can't become Z without any causes. That's one reasoning. Another reasoning is that if you skip the causes, then you're saying there are causes and there are not causes, and you're assembling two contradictions. For example, you're in point A and you want to go to point B. There are a number of ways and causes for you to go to point B. Either you can go by car, underground, by plane, but you have to go through one of these causes. And you can travel instantaneously too, that's possible too. But you have to travel through space and everything. Everything has to happen. All the causes have to be met. But let's say someone says, no, one can from A get to B without any causes. Allah can do that. Without any causes though. And there are causes in the natural world, but without any causes, you can get to B. If you say that, you're in effect saying that from A to B, there are causes and there are no causes at the same time. That's impossible. The first reason why it was impossible, because without the cause, how can the shift be made? How can the transition be made? The second reason was because of an assembly of contradictions. Something can't be, let's say, right and not be right at the same time. So, if we say he was created from earth, either we say Adam was created from earth, and in the same way that an embryo becomes a human being, earth becomes a human being, but outside the uterus, outside the womb. Over a period of time, it doesn't matter. That period of time may be a million years, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be 9 months. It may be a million years. The timing doesn't matter here. Or you can say Allah made that transition from earth to Adam, going through all the causes, but not in a million years, instantaneously. But Allah doesn't skip the causes. The causes have to be in place. So either he evolved, and being evolving from apes mean he was given birth to by an ape. Or he evolved from Neanderthals, meaning he was given birth to, ultimately, by a Neanderthal, male and female. Or Adam evolved from earth, was created from earth, in the way that we said, not the impossible type. Now, whichever way you want to accept, in all this, first of all, let's establish that it doesn't go against Tawheed, because at the end of the day, you need a creator. So this doesn't compromise with one's Tawheed. There's no problem there. So now we want to see that in the Quran, do we have strong proof to say which one of these was the case? First of all, evolution. By evolution, I mean, let's say, and humans evolved from apes or from Neanderthals. That isn't scientifically proven 100%. If they show you evidences, genetic evidences, that there's a similarity between Neanderthals, that doesn't mean that evolution is the response. There may be other causes why we have a same genetic pattern to some degree as apes or as Neanderthals. You can't confine it and conclude it's through evolution. For example, we have traditions that the children of Adam, we'll discuss this tomorrow, inshallah, although it's not a strong position that is held amongst the scholars, but the traditions are there, but they're solitary reports. Where the children of Adam and Eve married from people from the previous cycle, and the tradition gives the name of that previous cycle. See, so if that happens, then of course there's going to be a genetic continuity there. But just because there's a genetic continuity doesn't always mean that this person evolved from that entity or species. You can prove there's a genetic continuity, but you can't prove 100% it's a result of evolution. So bear that in mind too. And even if evolution is proven, it won't go against Tawheed. That's another point. And thirdly, today, within a given species, it's okay to accept evolution within a given species. However, between species, that hasn't been proved either. They're gathering evidences, there are hypotheses and theories, but there's no definitive proof. So there's no need to be excited, then stress that Islam is pro-evolution and it's okay they came from apes. No. A lot of scholars get excited. Scholars who studied in the seminaries, they don't get as excited, because they studied in a very clearly methodical way. But, you know, doctors, engineers, these people who are doctors or engineers, but they have a good background in in Islamic sciences, either through self-reading or listening to lectures, they suddenly become excited. And since they're people of science, they come across certain things and then now they want to stress and they emphasize and they insist that this almost proves. With every scientific finding which happens, they say, no, Islam said this, here, this part of the world, this part of the world. There's no need to do that. Science changes always. In medicine, in other sciences, every 5 years, more than 50% of what they believe alters. That's the nature of science. Even things which we thought were, you know, really definitive, like Hawking. You know, he keeps on saying, we believe in this, now we believe in this. Even within quantum physics, things that they believe in now they're changing. We can't be excited too much. Now, in the Holy Quran, is there some guideline, either apparent meaning or an explicit meaning, that guides us to which form of evolution of the 7 or 8 different ways we've explained, which one it is? There's one verse, and this one verse is a very strong piece of evidence that suggests one of these variations that we've discussed. Which verse is it? Chapter 3, verse 59. Inna mathala Isa inda Allah ka mathali Adam khalaqahu min turab thumma qala lahu kun fayakun. Verily, the example of Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, before Allah, so for Allah, the example of Jesus is like the example of Adam. That's one part. Then it continues, Allah created him, Adam, from earth, and said to the earth, be, and it became. Now, why is the example of Nabi Isa alayhi salam like the example of Adam? Because the Christians, they believed 1400 years ago, a group of Christians there, not all the Christians, group there, they believed that since Prophet Jesus alayhi salam had no father, therefore, this is their reading, therefore, he is the Son of God. Allah in this verse is saying, look, the story of Jesus alayhi salam is like the story of Adam. You believe in Adam, you Christians. You believe in Adam. You believe that Adam was created from earth. And you believe that Adam had neither father nor mother. So with your reasoning, you have to say that Adam is the Son of God too, if not more, because he had neither mother nor father. You believe that. This kind of reasoning, your reasoning with the other party based on presuppositions the other party already have. They also believed in Adam, and Adam was created from earth, and had no father, and Adam had no mother. But you call Esau Son of God. You don't call Adam that. You call Adam a created abd, slave of God. And that's okay. We call him a slave of God too, a servant of God. So why don't you call Esau a servant of God, rather than calling Esau, alayhi salam, Rab, Lord, God. See the problem there? Now, that's the verse and that's the context of the verse. Then it says that Allah created Adam from earth. He said to the earth, be, and it became. Now this be and became, it could have been a natural process of becoming, like Allah says, to our procreation, when we became existent in this world, those 9 months, Allah said, be, and it became, over 9 months. Be, and it became, doesn't have to be instantaneously always, but it can be instantaneous too, as we've explained. But Adi was created from earth. Okay. Now, if Adam had been given birth to by apes or by Neanderthals, if that was the case, two hitches would arise, two difficulties would arise. If Adam was given birth to Neanderthals, by Neanderthals, or if he was given birth to by apes. Because in these two scenarios, Adam would have a mother and would have a father. In these two scenarios. And if he has a father and has a mother, so what's this comparison to Nabi Isa? Because Nabi Isa doesn't have a father. In the verse it's saying that before Allah, this case of Isa is like the case of Adam. They both didn't have a father. If he had a father and mother, why are you comparing it to Nabi Isa? It wouldn't fit then. It wouldn't be consistent with the Quran. It wouldn't be consistent with that logic. And also, if he had Neanderthals or apes as parents, why even compare it to Adam when Adam has nothing specific to him? Why don't you say, إِنَّ مَثَلِ إِسَىٰ إِنْدَلَىٰ كَمَثَلِ نُوحِ كَمَثَلِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ They had parents. Why you, when you say Adam, when Adam has no specific feature, because you're saying he has a mother or father, he came from Neanderthals, for example, he came from apes, that qualifies as mother and father. Then there were sex cells involved, fertilization. There's a mother and father. So if he doesn't have anything specific about him, why do you say Kamathala Adam, like the story of Adam? Don't say, just say like the story of all the rest, like the story of Nuh, Ibrahim, Dawood, Suleiman, and so on and so forth. These two are two important difficulties that would arise. And so, this verse of the Holy Quran, maybe it's the strongest proof we have because it is explicit. It's not just something apparent which is two-sided or... No, this seems to be explicit. It's the strongest proof we have that Adam and Eve did not evolve from apes or from Neanderthals. And inshallah, we'll continue this and another discussion tomorrow, inshallah. Wassallallahu ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.